3 weeks ago, Arizona was at a tipping point. The ERA, a bill that says equality of rights shall not be denied or abridged on account of sex, was close to ratification in Arizona, making us the 38th state to do so and then triggering Congress's next move. That effort failed, but nothing is ever quite dead in a legislative session. And yesterday, a second attempt was made when Tucson Representative Pamela Powers Hanley demanded a floor vote. Yuma Democrat Charlene Fernandez made the case to her colleagues.
We have heard how much income women in this country have lost because of the wage gap. That is a byproduct of inequality that has existed since our country was founded.
But for the second time, that effort was scuttled by House Republicans. They say it's unnecessary, that it will open up definitions of sex, and that it makes abortion a constitutional right. So what's next for the ERA? For that, we're joined now by Kristen Niles from the Alice Paul Institute, a nonprofit focused on their namesake, a suffragist who first proposed the ERA in 1923 and then a revised version of it in 1943. Good morning, Krista.
Good morning.
So Virginia also had pushed for this year. That seems to have failed. The effort here in Arizona appears to have failed. What's next in terms of the national look of getting the ERA ratified, in your point of view?
There is so much activity happening around the Equal Rights Amendment across the country right now. It's so exciting. Virginia lost by one vote, so it came very, very close to being ratified there. We're seeing a lot of activity in North Carolina, South Carolina, and in recent weeks, we've seen a lot of movement happening in Oklahoma, as well as Louisiana. So it's at this point, it's not really if the ERA is going to become ratified. It's more a question of when and which state will become the 38th state to ratify.
Wow, really? Okay. So even if we get the ratification, this goes back to Congress, and there's some debate over whether or not it even matters anymore, right? Because it technically expired at some point. What's the plan there?
That's correct. So technically, the original deadline did expire. The first one expired in 1977. It was granted extension to 1982. But currently, there are efforts led by Representative Jackie Speier of California. In January, she introduced HJ Res 38, and that measure, if passed, will remove the original deadline that was required for the ratification. And so if HJ Res 38 passes, then whenever the 38th state then ratifies, we fully expect that the process for full ratification will begin.
So this is, you know, a long time coming, I guess, from your point of view. But I wonder if you can give us a sense as to why now. Why do you think that states are jumping on board this now and we're getting closer and closer? Like, is this something that is particularly relevant in the country right now, you think?
Absolutely. I think across the nation in the last few years, we have seen such a beautiful swell of demand for gender equality, you know, protections for both women and men to make sure that everyone has equal opportunity and equal access in their communities. We're seeing so much happening across the country that it's just wonderful, beautiful excitement that we're happening. So, led by efforts by like Jackie Speiers of California, Representative Carolyn Maloney out of New York, Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, and Lisa Murkowski. These are all individuals and elected officials who are really trying to move this legislation forward so that the Constitution of our country truly offers legally protected gender equality.
What's your response to some of these criticisms that we described in the intro here, though, that this is not necessary, that it's going to enshrine abortion into the Constitution in a way that is not what they would like to see? What's your response to those kind of critics?
My response is those are pretty severe misrepresentations of what the Equal Rights Amendment was designed to do. And at its heart, the language is very simple. It's 24 words, and you recited it earlier and just a moment ago. So it's really about making sure that federal and state laws are correctly interpreted and not provided as excuses to fear-mongering amongst, you know, different audiences. So what, you know, you can say that abortion would be, you know, abortion on demand, but that would mean that states' rights would have become superseded, and court law will be the one, case law that will be the ones that determine what that looks like and how the ERA could be potentially applied to equal access to reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll have to leave it there. That's Krista Niles with the Alice Paul Institute. Krista, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're so welcome. Thank you.